Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, March 8th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter Into Action, and we are on page 80, reading the first full paragraph that begins with, "Before taking drastic action," and ends with, "We must not shrink." We are reading and commenting on only one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Shelley E. reading the text, Jody E. reading page 164, and Betsy H. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and announcements will be Lois P. The reference number for yesterday, Sunday, May 7th, 2023, is 20,235, or 20,235, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,236, or 20,236. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you for your service, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda R., grateful and recovered in Georgia. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda R. Really appreciate it. And now we will ask Tanya P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the overeater who still suffers. 6, in OA, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Tanya P. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and please use that star 1 and don't just use the mute function on your phone. It causes some issues with the recording. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 80, reading the first full paragraph that begins with, before taking drastic action, and ending with, we must not shrink. We are reading and commenting on only one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Shelley E. to get us started and to begin reading.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, my fellows. The Big Book, page 80. Oops, I'm so sorry. The Big Book, page 80. Before taking drastic action, which might implicate other people, we secure their consent. If we have obtained permission, have consulted with others, ask God to help, and the drastic step is indicated, we must not shrink. Sorry, I hesitated for a minute there. I was reading it like it was the first time, and I haven't read it 100 times, but several times. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. I have had a situation in my recovery where I have a drastic action, or I should say an amend that I need to make to a family member. And it's not on my, my sponsor told me to make amends I'll make now, amends I'm willing to make, amends I will never make. I don't have a never make, yet. I'm fortunate enough not to have that. I do have a drastic one, though, and I have not made that, and I don't know that I'll ever be able to entirely make it. We have a family member that is very volatile, and it's actually my husband's brother-in-law, and he has threatened my husband, and he has come to our house. And I mean, you could make a movie of this. It's just really so goofy. But anyways, I would like to be able to make an amend, at least to my sister-in-law, and I do owe her an amend. But there's absolutely no way I can cross that threshold or even send a note or contact them in any way. I mean, it's to the extent where at my in-law's funeral, we had to have police protection. So that would really put my family, my husband, in jeopardy. I'm not worried about myself as much as I am my husband. And I talked to my husband about it, and he's just like, could we just please leave this? we have silence now. Let's just leave it where it is. So in the meantime, what I have talked to others about what to do about this, and what I have decided to do and have been doing for the last 5 years is I take very good care of where my in-laws are interned, because really one of their biggest wishes was that this would not happen to their family, and it has happened. So the best thing that I can think of to do is to provide great care for them and pray and be hopeful that the opportunity will come up, you know, before I leave this earth or whatever. The opportunity will come up for me to make the amends, but I also have to look at why I want to make the amends, because I don't want to be selfish about it, just to make myself feel better. That's really not the purpose for an amend. When I see those two words drastic, those are the things that come to mind for me, and that's my experience with this. Otherwise, I'm pretty good and clear with God and on my amends, but I still have that one hanging out, so we'll see how that goes. Anyway, thank you for letting me share, and a good day, everyone. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Shelley E. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please allow others the opportunity to share their experience, strength, and hope today. I'm going to ask for some names of people who want to share, and if you could please give us your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Thank you. Who else would like to share? Quiet group this morning. Anyone else who wants to share on this paragraph?
Deborah G.
Don't all talk at once. Okay, Deborah G. Anyone else?
Robin A.
I've got your Robin A.
Nancy C.
D-G.
I heard Nancy. Was that Nancy VG?
Nancy C.
Oh, Nancy C. And there was someone with VG?
Sivia, S-I-V-I-A, VG.
Is that a V, Sivia?
Yes, it is.
Or a
V
C.
Is in victory.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. All right, I think we'll start with this lineup. I've got Kathleen O, Deborah G, Robin A, Nancy C, Sivia VG, and if you could please let us know where you're calling from, and we'll start with Kathleen O, followed by Deborah G.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning. This is Kathleen O in California, compulsive overeater. Always crickets around amends, right? So amends are to do something good to show that, you know, we're sorry for something that we've done. And although a sincere apology is a crucial part of making amends, an apology alone isn't enough to do some of the, you know, irreversible pain or heartache that I may have caused. So truly what I'm trying to do is not ever repeat the behavior and do some goodwill. So the word shrink is to do something good to show that you are sorry about something you have done. So we can't shrink away. And drastic is likely to have a strong or far-fetching effect, radical and extreme. Action, the fact or process of doing something, typically to achieve an aim. So, you know, I love the line, we have consulted with others. Amends are not to make us feel better. However, my experience is I did indeed feel better, but rather amends are to open our hearts to our higher power so that no matter what happens, we feel safe and protected. And some of my more difficult amends, they would have been a disaster if I hadn't consulted first with my sponsor and my fellows. It was important I didn't play the victim in my amends, no more blaming and criticizing, and I always have to take responsibility for my actions. When consulting with a sponsor and fellows, I got some really good ideas that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't talked to someone. And, you know, it's really worse to make poor amends so you can't be in a hurry. And when I make amends, I have to do my best never to repeat the harm, because what's the point, you know? I've heard people say that others will say to them, I don't want to hear your amends anymore. So it's really important that we don't set ourselves up for that. It does no good to make an amends and then just keep repeating the behavior. And when I have a spiritual experience, I change my behavior so that I no longer cause, you know, these radical and extreme harms. So the things that I have learned is I have to be humble and not assume anything when I make an amends. I have to accept responsibility for my actions and what those actions brought. I absolutely have to admit my fault, and I have to change my behavior and, you know, demonstrate that healing has started. And the main thing that I do when I make amends is I really make an effort to rebuild trust and,
gentle
again,
reminder,
not repeat the harm again. Thank you. Thanks, Stephanie and Pass.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. And next up, we have Deborah G., followed by Robin A.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you, Stephanie, for your service, and everyone for your service making this meeting possible. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here. I've had experiences where I've made amends running them by my sponsor and not running them by my sponsor. And of course, the ones not running them by my sponsor didn't work out too well. And so I learned, from experience, you know, to talk to my sponsor. Because a lot of times, too, I think I owe an amends and I don't. And I think I don't owe an amends and I do. And I like to help with words of what to say. Sometimes I don't know what to say, especially when I'm doing 8 and 9, going through the steps. And she can help me with those words. And I've had many sponsors in different programs. And one of the things I learned was to ask for consent, asking them, you know, if they're open to hearing the amends. And if they are, oh, that's good. But if they're not, that's good too, you know. And then saying the amends and just listening, you know. And then also this one sponsor said to also say, how can I make that right? If it's, you know, and then if it's within reason, you know, I can do that. And it's an ongoing amends learning process. And I have had really good experiences with amends and not so good experiences with amends. But I'm going to continue to do those amends because I love living this way of life. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Deborah G. And next up, we have Robin A., followed by Nancy C. And Robin, if you could hit star 1 to unmute.
Hi.
Good morning. Oh, there you are.
I was talking.
Awesome.
Good morning, Robin, compulsive eater, Robin A. from California. This is the perfect paragraph and topic for me this morning. I'm newly sober again in this program. I have had an incident just yesterday and the day before, where I just don't necessarily see things clearly, and because it's going to take a minute for me to get also to the ninth step. There's still things that happen in my daily life, being in halt, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, or just not being able to communicate properly. Sometimes I feel that just being in the world again, in a different way, that sometimes I just don't have boundaries and I don't have the words to use. And I had a situation with a friend where I had set a boundary, a time boundary of 5 minutes, and and then she proceeded to tell me something very important to her, and I wasn't in the capacity to be able to communicate and respond and reflect back to her what she had said, and so she was upset with me. And so I was able, luckily I ran it by somebody else, and they said, they were able to point out my side of the street rather than caretake, because she wanted to tell me how she wanted me to respond to her, how to talk to her. And what I was able to do is, when I'm resourced with higher power, with myself, with time, I'm able to be in a space, a centered space, regulated space, where I could communicate with somebody. And so I was able to take responsibility for that part, but not take on her way of telling me how she wants me to talk to her. So it was really powerful, and there was a good response. And another friend outreached with me this morning, someone that is really volatile, and thank God I'm learning to just pause and not respond to this, because I don't know if I want to have that amends in the friendship, because I don't know that I want to be around this person. I feel like I have no skin, that I don't have this old destructive defense that I had with food, and I want to have like the sunlight of the spirit within me and just peace of mind and calm. And sometimes friendships, I know when I entered other programs, I couldn't be with these certain friends. It's like I wasn't living the lifestyle that I did. So I think that's my time. I think so. But thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Robin A. from California. And before we go on to our next person, I just want to let you know, if you've just joined us, we're on page 80, top paragraph. Before taking drastic action, we read one paragraph. We're going to take a couple more shares, and then we'll have another lineup. So with that, next up is Nancy C., followed by Sivia VG.
Hi there, I'm Nancy C., compulsive eater from Seattle. I really just love this paragraph because it has just kind of overriding, beyond even the ninth step, of just how to, sort of the correct way to conduct myself, which is being out of myself. It really talks to me about just a way of life in general. The first thing I thought of was what it feels like when other people do things that affect me without my consent, and how that makes me feel. It makes me feel terrible. And I had a recent experience with a professional advisor who did something with my property and didn't tell me, and then said, well, I don't have to tell you that I'm doing these things. I'm not required to. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that has an impact on me. And it's a courtesy, if nothing else, to consult with others before taking action that affects them. So that made me remember what that feels like. So when I do that, what that feels like to others, it really helps me see that. And, just even small examples like you know, I'm a real social person and I like to invite people over and let's get together. And I have a husband who doesn't necessarily want to do that. And gosh, time and again, I'm like, this is such a great thing. I'm so, you know, how nice of me to invite people to come over. But I haven't consulted and it impacts him. And I've just had to learn over and over again to include the thought of others in my actions. And then the last thing I think I want to say is that this just is just exactly almost like what we do in the fifth step. It's like over and over and over again. We talk to another person. We ask, we talk to ourselves. We talk to God. And that's how I conduct my life. That's the way I need to proceed with everything. It's a we program, and I can't do this by myself. If I try, I have learned over and over again, I will invariably think of myself and what I want and not have thought of others. And that might be okay, except that they retaliate. I get into situations that are upsetting for me and others, and that leads me back to food, and it's just not a way, and to being upset and not serene. And so I want to use this paragraph in everything I do, including today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Nancy C. And next up, we have Sivia VG.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, perfect. Good morning, everybody. I'm Sivia VG from Northern California. Thank you for doing service. So this paragraph is so timely because I'm working with a sponsee right now who needs to finish making her amends. And I have been also in a position where I need to get permission, especially if it requires making financial amends. I had to ask my husband, I owe this person X, you know, is it okay with you? Because if I didn't, then I'd have to do amends to my husband for just taking our joint money and using it without his knowledge. And I've tried whenever I have to do an amends, which nowadays they're, you know, daily things. And I'm more careful about what I open my mouth and say. But I always take it to my sponsor or someone else in the program because I don't want to, you know, I think somebody said earlier, you know, I'm sorry. And pretty soon they're, you know, when you cry wolf enough, your amends really mean nothing to that person. So I've really tried to make sure that I cover it. I try not to do an amends where there's really none needed. And so I also get a check on that. Do I really need to make those amends? And the story that follows, which will start tomorrow, about the money, you know, the guy who accepts money and then uses the guy and is very not very nice. You know, he goes to his church. He literally says, "This is what I did." He was willing to put his entire reputation and business on the line, but he knew that if he didn't do it, he wouldn't ever get sober. And if we don't make our amends, even when they're difficult, we won't get sober, or we will, but we'll eventually lose our abstinence. And I know that the times that I've lost abstinence, there was still something in the corner of my brain that was bothering me, some shame or guilt about something that I did that I needed to release myself from by making these amends. So anyway, that's it. I pass. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll just pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sivia VG.
And I can take probably about 5 or 6 more names. I think we'll have time for about 5 or 6 more people. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Mati M. from Arizona.
That's
Amelia
O.
from Ohio.
I heard Amelia, I believe.
Amelia O, yeah, from Connecticut.
Amelia O.
Sharon E. from Ohio.
Shannon E. from Ohio. I can take a few more.
Matty M. from Arizona.
Oh, I've got you, Matty.
Oh, sorry.
you're totally okay.
Thanks.
Oh, no worries. Who else would like to share? All right. Well, we'll go with these three, and we'll see what time is left. We've got Mati M. from Arizona, Amelia O. from California, Shannon E. from Ohio, and I think I heard a male voice try and pop in there. No? Voice. Okay.
Jeff, I can, if you like, Jeff A., California.
Okay, Jeff. I've got you down. You'll be the fourth. So we'll go ahead and get started with Matty M., followed by Amelia O.
Hi, good morning. This is Matty M. From Tucson, Arizona, grateful, recovering compulsive overeater. And I was just thinking, as far as step 9, how we can't make the action of making amends without the clarity of consulting with God and our sponsor and each other. One of the realizations that I had a couple years ago from a dear sister, friend in program is that when people like me, that I spend my life saying I'm sorry, even if I didn't do anything wrong or put myself in an emotionally dangerous situation by wanting to approach people that were already abusive to me, that the part that says, you know, except when to do so would injure them or others, that I have to include myself. The other thing that I realized last week, aside from, you know, saying, you know, I'm sorry, the difference between being humble and feeling humiliated or the shame that would really block me from making healthy amends. Other thing which can be quite painful is that for me, I have to accept that depending on what I did or didn't do, people have the choice to say, well, that's great that you make amends, but I don't want to have a relationship with you anymore. And so that's when I rely on God and accept. One of the things that also gets in the way for me as far as making amends to myself or others, is that in my excitement of a friendship, I can be impulsive. One example is a dear friend, may she rest in peace, that we have a lot in common. As far as the arts, I was like sending her too many texts about, you know, look at this opera, look at, and she asked, please, Matty, don't do this anymore. And I kept doing it. So, yeah, like somebody suggested, not be a repeat offender. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Matty M. Next up, we have Amelia O, followed by Shannon E.
Hi, my name is Amelia. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater today. What struck me about this paragraph, so when I did my steps the last time, I had a particular amends around work that I felt I should make. But I needed to go to my boss first because the amends could potentially affect the company. And I went to my boss to talk about what had happened, and my boss said, no, do not do this. And I thought I was going to lose my mind. It was like, oh my gosh, if I don't make this amends, I'm not going to get recovered. I'm going to go back in the food. I started to panic. And I talked to a couple of people and I prayed on it. And I realized this was not something my higher power was asking me to do, at least not right now. If it was something I needed to do at all. And one of the things that I realized, I think our higher power asks us to be willing to make certain amends, but that doesn't always mean that it's the right thing to do or the right thing to do immediately. I have a tendency to treat amends like pulling off a Band-Aid. Just do it as quickly as possible, get it over with, and get through it. And that's not always the best way to do amends. So I really learned something this time about the amends process and how it really is a spiritual process. That spiritual piece has to be there. It's not something that we just do to get it over with because I don't want to eat again. Like, that's part of it, but it's got to be deeper than that, I think. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Amelia. Oh, from California. Next up, Shannon E, followed by Jeff A.
Hi, this is Sharon E from Ohio, and grateful to be recovered here in OA today and another program long time ago. the paragraph is talking some in the first part about including another person in it and the harm that would cause them if this were to come to light, whatever it is, I think, if I understood it correctly. And so I don't really have that, but before I came to OA, I had something that was on my mind that I needed to make an amends for, and I felt the need so drastically that it was driving me insane. And I just felt like I needed to do that. And I did. And it caused a problem so bad that it almost wrecked my marriage. And I had been told the day after I had made the amends by a spiritual leader, don't do that. I'm like, I already did it. And then there was, you know, so anyway, before we go into something like that, we really do need to ask those around us, because it does say that later on in the paragraph, ask, doesn't it, those around us, or those that are helping us with this program, should we? Because sometimes clearer minds do prevail, and mine was definitely not clear. So that's all I had to say about that. Thank you for listening, and all y'all have a wonderful day.
And thank you so much. I think I said Shannon, and I believe it's Sharon E. from Ohio. So sorry about that, Sharon. And next up, we have Jeff A.
Hi, my name's Jeff. I have another program, too, a 12-step program that I've been doing for years. And then last year, I started doing OA. And I'm not ready for the step, my ninth step, for part of the stuff that's really bothering me, or for the quote easier stuff, which is not easy. I can do the other, I'm doing the other program, but for the hard ones, it's been really hard. And there have been several things in the last 5 years that have been just horrible. And I know I want God to be with me. And I and he is. But it's been too painful, because it hurt me tremendously. And now I'm starting to get to that point where I'm willing to be willing to be willing to make my amends. So, and I realized I ended up, I was fired. Well, I was laid off. But ultimately, what happened was the president, who I didn't think he was ever going to be a president, and then suddenly he was, he can be quick. And I was so angry and frustrated. And it's now that I'm have some time, which is several years later, I can see I was a bit of a jerk. And I'm starting to realize and feel like there'll be a time when I can make an amends to him. But I have to work really hard with my OA sponsor, because there'll be a time, but it's not right now. And I'm glad that it's not right now, but I'm getting to a point where I could do the amends for my part. He did a lot of hard things for me, and that's his part. But for my part, I can see that part of it was my problem, and God wanted me to do a certain thing, and instead I wanted to do it the second in command, and God said, no, I want you to do this instead, and instead I did it like the other guy, because I was pissed, and so it was not what God wanted me to do, and that's what happened. So anyways, That's where I'm at. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff A. And we can take two more people. Two more people who would like to share on this paragraph. Top of page 80. Who would like to share? Anyone like to share?
Hi, it's Rella. I'm just wondering if we're still at, I don't have my book in front of me. Is that still at four steps?
We're on the top of page 80, the top paragraph. And we're talking about amends. Yeah.
Amends.
Oh, but hold on 1 second, because I might be able to take one more person too. Is there anyone else besides Rella who would like to share? Well, Rella, you go ahead. You got 3 minutes, and we'll see what it looks like. And if you could let us know your last initial and where you're calling from.
Sure. It's Rella R. from Brooklyn, and I am looking at before taking drastic action. Yeah, we secure their consent. I am actually working step four with my sponsor. It's been a longer, more comprehensive one that I've done in the past. This one included resentment, fear, harms, sex, and a strengths inventory, which was kind of nice to do and was something I had been pushing off for some reason. I didn't know if I wanted to look at my strengths. It kind of felt a little, you know, boastful. But I'm getting more mature about it now and recognizing that if I can spend an elaborate amount of time on the resentments and the fears and the harms that I've done, then I can certainly trust in my higher power that he's given me strengths as well. And that those are the strengths that that will help me in my recovery, and will remind me that I'm not the sum total of my mistakes and my past. So I'm grateful for that, and I will be, as I made a list of the harms inventory, I thought to myself, you know, thank God I'm going to be doing this with a sponsor, because I don't have a clear vision sometimes if approaching this person is of benefit or not. Sometimes things are done in the past. Am I just bringing things up which are long you know, which I can pass the person on the street and we seem fine with each other. Do I need to bring up something that I, you know, and I may have apologized for it in the past. It may not have been a recovered apology, but it was some recognition of my wrongdoing. So I recognize that it's not always simple. And I also need to remember that I'm not doing this for the results. I'm doing this, like, the people may not respond in the way I would like them to, necessarily the ones that I will make amends to. And as I'm speaking, I just remembered another person. That's another thing. Like, I go about my day, I think I'm done, and say, oh, wow, yeah, I remember when I hurt this person. This person seemed to have hurt feelings. But because I'm an adult child, I'll just end with this. I need to remember that just because someone is mad at me doesn't mean I did something wrong. And that was a part of my growing up. It's still part of my egocentric, child-focused, you know, view that if anyone was mad, it certainly must have been something that I did wrong. So people can be upset or angry, and it may have very little to do with me. And I need help with being judicial about the amends that I make and where I am or am not responsible. So grateful for this program, this fellowship, and thank you all for listening. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Rella R. from Brooklyn, New York. We can take one more person, a two-minuter. Who would like to bring us home with a two-minute share?
Kanusha B.
I'm sorry. I don't think I'm saying your
name
right. What's
it, T?
Can you say
T-H, Kanusha.
Oh, Fanusha. Thank you so much, Fanusha. And what's your last initial?
B, as in boy.
B. And where are you calling from?
California.
Awesome. All right. Thank you. You got 2 minutes.
I am so glad I jumped into this meeting this morning. I'm in the middle of getting my ninth step, step eight and a half. I'm getting ready for my amends. And one amends to my father-in-law and brother-in-law was pretty sure was really, really bad and big and scary, and convinced that I am needing to make an amends, but my sponsor is saying no, and I'm fighting this thing, and I'm like, how can this be? I've been a monster. And I got up at 3 a.m., I prayed about it, and she's still saying, no, we'll just put a pin on it and leave it for later, and I'm so glad I got into this meeting. I'm just getting so much feedback, you know, I can see it. Yes, it's been an abusive situation. I see the defects in me that is causing me to want to resist listening, but I just appreciate the guidance that it is my higher power keeping me safe. 4 sponsors later, getting to the same place on the step, it's clearly my higher power is with me in the step. It is a spiritual step. It is a process. I kept questioning why I get to this step and I seem to turn around and have to find a new sponsor. And so now hindsight is all coming together, that yes, my higher power wants to keep me safe and the time is right. And I'm just so appreciative of hearing this other side, this message. To trust God with these things and not run on self-will. I'll just stop at that. I'm really thankful. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Manusha B, for bringing us home. Well, we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jody E., can you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, good morning, everyone. This is Jody E. in California, gratefully recovered today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.